Today, being the 16th day of November 2025, we begin lesson number 2. Last week, we did an overview. I didn't finish it all, but you've got the notes that you can go back through and look at that. Today, I want to start lesson number 2 out of the book of John. The series is entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. And we're going through the book of John. And today we're going to be looking at John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 18. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The lesson is entitled, Intervention by Incarnation. Intervention, big word, by incarnation. Another big word, all right? But I'm going to go through this with you today. And I want you to see just how much God loves you. Just how much God really loves me. The whole book of John deals with the love of God. And folks, I just want you to understand here. These lessons are what we need to be reminded of today in order to stay faithful in our service unto the Lord from day to day. Were it not for God and His great love for us, man, it scares me to think where I'd be today. But you know what? He did love me. And He did send His Son Jesus to die for me. And He did the same for you as well. And I want to ask you today, take notes in the lesson. I want you to look at John chapter 1, verse 14. This is our theme scripture passage today. The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I just want to ask this question today. I have to ask myself this question. But what am I doing with the message of the gospel today? What are you doing with that message of the gospel today? Are you hiding it? Are you concealing it? Are you sharing it? Are you living it? What's going on with it? You know, last Sunday we looked at a basic general overview of the book of John, the gospel of John, and we centered that overview around two specific verses found in John chapter 20. Verses 30 and 31. You can look there if you want to. Here's what the Bible said. John wrote here and he said, and many other signs or miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. That's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John. That those who read it will see what Christ came to do. And that they can have eternal, everlasting life through Him. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at some of the things that John began to write about in his account of Jesus here in the first chapter of the book of John. And I don't want you getting confused here, okay? Because John, the beloved, John the apostle, is writing this account through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he writes about John the Baptist, okay? Not John the Catholic, not John the Charismatic, not John the Pentecostal, but John the Baptist, okay? He was baptizing folks unto repentance. John's gospel, John the Baptist, preached that a Savior, a Messiah, is coming. He's coming. And these folks were baptized, believing, committing themselves to the Savior that would come. But John tells us all that the Savior did once He came. Amen. And here in this first chapter, he's going to cover a lot of things. He's got a little prologue and an epilogue and an introduction, all these other things. But I want you to see how all this relates to the purpose and the plan of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this lesson is going to help you, I think, to see. It's going to develop the reason why it was necessary for Jesus to come to this earth. Why you can't go to heaven by just being good. Why good works won't get you there. Why religion won't get you there. You're going to see why we had to have someone to stand in the gap. Someone that would reach further down for us than we could ever reach up. And Jesus Christ, our intercessor, He is the one that brings sinful man and holy God together. He's the one. It's not church membership. It's not something that we do or we say or we monies that we give and things like that. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a personal relationship with God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. And so in this lesson, John wants his readers to understand the fact that Jesus truly is God made manifest in the flesh. He's brought into this earth for a purpose. And we're going to look at that purpose, all right? So I want us to look at this lesson. Now, I don't think I'm going to get through this. Honey, there is so much so good. Man, I'm going to tell you. As I was studying this week, man, I just had to get up and walk around a little bit. Just praising the Lord for His love and His mercy. That God would love me to send His Son for me. To die on the cross and suffer and bleed and die as He did for me. Man, I'm going to tell you. You get to thinking about that, and boy, I tell you, you can't hardly stand it. I couldn't anyway. So I want us to look at this thing today. Number one, I want you to see John's introduction of the Word. Now, many times when we say the Word, we're thinking about the Word, okay? The Bible, the Holy Word of God. But I want you to see today some things here that introduces you to who the Word truly is. Jesus is the Word. He's the true and living Word of God. And I want you to see this today. Look at verse number 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now I want you to notice that's capitalized. That's the name of the Savior. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want you to see here just a moment how that John introduces Jesus as the Word. The Word. And he says here that Jesus was in the beginning with God, and He was God. Amen? Now there are some religions today that want to teach you that He was a created being. No. He was not created. The Scripture proves the fact. Jesus claims to be God in the flesh. And here John makes that declaration. John's account starts out here with him stating that Jesus is God. Now that word was in both verses here implies a continual existence. He has been from the beginning. That means that the Word has always been God, and they are one in the same. They're one in the same. Now look at this. In the beginning. Now that denotes all before anything else. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and that verifies Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible said, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. John chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 are talking about the same mighty God. Amen. And not only did John state here that in the beginning was the Word, but then he states something else. And he says, and the Word was with God. That signifies a relationship, okay? And then look at this. While the Word and God are seen here, and you're thinking they're two different people, two distinct persons, all in actuality, they're one. And he says here, and the Word was God. He is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. I want you to see that today. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if you'll read the Bible, you'll see that it's true. He is God in the flesh. Now, he is no lesser God. He is God. And John's desire here for his readers, for anyone that reads this, he wants them to know and understand that there is only one God. There's only one God. And this was so that the Jews especially would not be relating God and the Word with some paganistic type thing, where you're worshiping many gods. The Romans worshiped all kinds of gods. The Greeks worshiped all kinds of gods. They had a God for this, a God for everything. But that's not what our God is. I want you to turn over to the book of Isaiah just a moment. Isaiah chapter 43. There are religious groups today that insist by their false doctrine. They teach that Jesus, God's Son and proclaimed Savior of the world, is some type of a lesser God than God the Father. But he's not. And I want to remind you today that the Scriptures teach us and they show us how that what the Old Testament prophets taught are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets said a Savior is coming. The New Testament says he's here and he tells us who he is, and it verifies everything through the Old Testament Scriptures. So here in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11, God tells the children of Israel this. Listen to what he said. He said, ye are my witnesses. That was God's plan for the children of Israel to be witnesses unto all the world of who God is and his goodness and his greatness and his power. And he wrote to the children of Israel. He said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Now look at this. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. That's my Jesus. Amen. If you remember in the New Testament Scriptures, the angels told Mary, his name's going to be called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. He told that to Joseph. He is the only Savior of the world. And here in the Old Testament Scriptures, the Lord God Jehovah says, that's me. And besides me, there is no Savior. Now think about that today. I want you to turn now to the book of Matthew chapter 1. You say, preacher, I thought we was looking at John. We are. But this all just verifies everything that we're showing you from the book of John. Matthew chapter 1. I love this. Man, I just love it. I may just walk around a little bit this morning. Amen. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it happened, folks. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Not a little God, not an angel proclaiming to be God, but God in the flesh. Amen? And if you go back, and you just make a note of this, but in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, Jesus is proclaimed by the angels in heaven to be the Savior of the world. Now think about that. Jesus came into this world in the form of man. He is God in the flesh. God gave himself. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? And Isaac looks at Abraham, his father, and says, Father, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham looks at him and he said, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. And when you look at that and you read that, he's talking about how that God's going to give himself as the lamb. He did that through Jesus Christ. John declares that this word that he's spoken of, he declares here that Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Word, is not only God, but look at it in verse number 2. He said that the same was in the beginning with God. Man, he was there. And you know what? Jesus, the Word, who was in the beginning, who was the Word, who was with God from the beginning, and who is God in the flesh, all right? He is Emmanuel. He is declared to be Emmanuel. He talked about that in Isaiah. He talked about it here in the book of Matthew. And he is declared to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. God dwelling among us. Isaiah wrote again in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. I think I've got these listed in your bulletin today, but if you don't, mark it down. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. Amen. He's one today. And the one is the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Turn over to the book of Revelation, the very last book in the New Testament. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 17. And this same John here, okay, that penned the Gospel of John is the same one that penned the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said here in verse number 17, Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. The devil doesn't even have a key to his own house. Amen. What a Savior today. Amen. That's my Jesus. And this Jesus that says this in Revelation chapter 1 is the same Jesus God that spoke it in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, just a moment ago. Man, he's the one. And this is just John's introduction. I haven't even got through verse 2 yet. I mean, this is his introduction. Now I want you to look at this. I want you to see the relation of the Word to creation. In John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, here John writes this. He said, all things, not some things, not just a few things, but all things were created by Him. And without Him, without who? Without God, without the Word, without Him was not anything made that was made. I heard the story of a scientist who didn't believe in God. He said, we are so smart today that we can create life in our laboratories. And he said, I would challenge God to a contest. And God says, I'm up for it. And the man says, all right, I'll prove to you that I can do the same thing in my lab as you did with dirt. And he said, I'll start here by just taking a handful of this dirt and I'll create life with it. The scientist said that. And as he began to reach down in that little pot that he had in his laboratory to put it up on his scales and do all this work, God shakes his finger and he says, make your own dirt. That's my Savior, amen. That's my Jesus, amen. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. I want you to see this today. Jesus created all things, as we see here in verse number 3. And that Word, the Word, God in the flesh, He created it all. I want you to see some things. Not a few things, but all things were created by Him. We're not evolving. There are not more new things being done. God created it all in the beginning. The Bible said something here interesting. And I want you to go back to this Old Testament scripture, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 8. You got to see this. This is so good. Man, I love the Word of God. It's just so good. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand and keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and to bring on them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's the God that created all things. Turn over with me to the book of Colossians chapter number 1. That's in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible said here, for by Him, and this is referring to Jesus, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let me sum it up for you. Without God, there'd be nothing. Without God, you'd have nothing. And here in John chapter 1, verse 3, John just confirms it. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I want you to look at the second thing here in verses 4 and 5. John said here in verse 4 and 5 that Jesus is life and light. Life and light. Look what it said. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what God, the Lord God, did there? He gave physical life to all mankind. I can look at you today and tell that you've been physically born, okay? I can tell that, all right? But Jesus also gives light and truth to men and women. And he gives that, and he extends to everyone the opportunity to not only just have a physical life, but to have remembrance that they have eternal life as well. And let me say this to you today. No matter who you are, no matter what your past, what your present, you will spend eternity somewhere forever. Either with God in heaven, or separated from him because of your sin in hell. In him was life. Jesus said light is the symbol for truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And in John chapter 9, verse 5, he said, I am the light of the world. Amen? That's our Savior. Jesus brings light to our dark world of sin. He brings life to those who've placed their faith and trust in him. And you know, the truth about ourselves, that we are all sinners and we all owe a debt for our sin, that has to come from somewhere. That truth has to come from somewhere. Where did it come from? It came from the one who gives the light so that we can have eternal life in him. He gave truth about himself as the Savior of the world. He gave truth about God the Father, who would have all men come unto him and be saved. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn over. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. This verse. Man, I love this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 9. The Bible said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but what? That all should come to repentance. And you see, darkness is the exact opposite of light. Darkness represents evil. Darkness represents wickedness in this present world. They say, well, listen, darkness is wicked and darkness is evil. Yeah, that's when people come out and try to rob you and beat you and steal from you and everything else, when no man can see you. But you shine the light on them and they disappear, don't they? And you know what? Listen, John wrote in verse number 5, he said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And that phrase, comprehended it not, it literally means that when the light of the truth of the Word of God shines upon this old dark world of sin, that sin cannot overcome that truth or that light. And when you turn the lights on, guess what? The darkness flees. Amen? Thank God for the light of the Word of God. John knew that the religious leaders of his day, though proclaiming to know about God, okay, they knew about God, were actually walking in the darkness of sin. And John wanted them to understand that they could not overcome the truth of the Word of God, no matter how hard they tried, because He is the light of this world. Amen? Isn't that great? Now, if you'll come back next week, we're going to get into the introduction of the witness. Amen? Verses 6 through 8. We're going to look at it. Man, you see why I can't get through this? This is so good. This is so good. And it's all about my Savior. Amen? And this is the one that loves you and gave Himself for you. Let's go and proclaim His name today. Father, I love You today. Oh, Lord. As I got into looking at this lesson and studying about it, Lord, and just thinking about what You've done for us, oh, I saw today, Lord, how that You are the God of gods, the Creator of all things. You're my Savior. And Lord, I just want to proclaim that name. Help us, Lord, to not be ashamed of You. And Lord, help us to see in the Word of God that You are the living Word. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll continue to bless today with the services. Bless Brother Hamlin, Lord, as he comes to preach to us. I pray, God, that You'll help me with the baptism today to not hurt Brother Brandon's back. And Lord, I pray, God, that You'll give him strength, Lord, today to follow You in believer's baptism. Watch over us now. Bless and protect. And we'll thank You, God, for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Look forward to you being back next Sunday, all right?